Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't know if you like college basketball or not, but regardless if you are a fan of it or not, as you probably know, March Madness has just begun. Many people have filled out their brackets. Many people are going to be watching the games. Then eventually all of those teams will dwindle down to the Sweet 16, and then down to the Elite Eight, then down to the Final Four, and then down to two teams that will fight in the championship. Only one team can win. And when that one team wins and travels back to their hometown, what's usually waiting for them? Usually, the hometown will have a day of celebration. They will parade that team throughout their streets, and they will praise them for what they have done. Now, I know the illustration is imperfect, but in some ways, we see that here with Jesus. Throughout the Lenten season, we have seen Jesus battle against Satan and his temptations. We have seen how Jesus was challenged by the Pharisees and he defended himself by speaking in parables. We have seen that Jesus was determined to complete his mission and nothing would stop him. And so on this day, we heard about how Jesus entered into Jerusalem to complete his mission. And that day has been called Palm Sunday for a long time. Now, considering that today is Palm Sunday, what did you expect that Luke would mention in his account? Considering that it's called Palm Sunday, you might have expected Luke to talk about palm branches and how the people waved them in the air and placed them on the ground. Whereas you look at that banner, you might have expected that Luke would mention the word Hosanna and how the people said, Hosanna in the highest. But did you notice that Luke didn't mention any of those things? He didn't bring up palm branches. He didn't even mention the word Hosanna. Instead, most of Luke's account about Palm Sunday dealt with a donkey. Why would Luke spend so much time talking about a donkey? Well, before we answer that question, and since Luke spends so much time talking about this, let's take a closer look at what happened here. At this time, many of the Jewish people had traveled to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, which would happen at the end of the week. The Passover was one of three festivals that God told the Jewish people they had to come to the temple to celebrate. And Jesus was no different. He was traveling to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. But before he got there, he told two of his disciples, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here." Imagine if you were one of those two disciples whom the Lord commanded. What kind of things would be going through your mind? You might be thinking, Jesus, we can't just go to this town and take a person's donkey. Won't people think that we're stealing it? But Jesus said to them, "If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.'" Now, we're not told whether or not, you know, these disciples had these thoughts and they were wondering about these things, but it doesn't matter. They obeyed the Lord's command. They traveled to this village. Now, will they find a colt there that no one has ever ridden? Will they be able to bring that donkey back to Jesus? Notice what Luke said. They went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. When these two disciples entered into that village, they found everything just as Jesus had told them. There was a donkey tied up there that no one had ever used. And as they were untying the donkey, and the person asked them, "What are you doing?" they used the words that Jesus had given them. And they were able to bring the donkey to Jesus and put him on it. And so Jesus entered into Jerusalem on a donkey. But once again, I ask, why does Luke spend so much time talking about a donkey here? Why is this even important? Remember what the prophet Zechariah said. "See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The reason that Jesus sent these two disciples to go to this village and they found everything just as he said was to fulfill Scripture just as it said. And since Scripture foretold that Jesus would enter into Jerusalem on a donkey, he made sure that prophecy of Scripture was fulfilled. But why a donkey? Why didn't Jesus enter Jerusalem on a glorious chariot or a majestic horse? Well, if that's what God wanted, he would have prophesied that. But there's something very beautiful about that picture of Jesus riding on a donkey. It shows his humbleness. And now there are a lot of things that we need to understand about Jesus' humility. And that's the beauty of what Paul told us this morning. Christ Jesus, who being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus left all the glories and the majesty that he had in heaven, and he came here as a humble servant. He made himself nothing. This doesn't mean that Jesus no longer had his divine powers. He was still true God. But while he lived here, he did not make full and frequent use of his divine powers. He made himself a humble servant. And so he entered into Jerusalem humbly on a donkey, knowing full well that later on in the week, he would be led out of Jerusalem, carrying a cross to his crucifixion, enduring all of its scorn and shame. Jesus humbled himself so much that he became obedient to death, even death on a cross, to save us from our sins. Praise Jesus that he would humble himself in this way. Praise Jesus that he entered into Jerusalem humbly on a donkey. But even though Jesus entered into Jerusalem humbly on a donkey, there is still glory here. For he entered into Jerusalem triumphant in praise. After the disciples brought the donkey to Jesus and put him on it, we were told, as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. The people took their cloaks off their back and they placed it on the ground for Jesus to travel on. This was a sign of respect, of honor, and of praise to Jesus. For by doing this, they were making, if you will, a royal carpet. But the praise for Jesus doesn't stop here. As Jesus got closer to Jerusalem, the whole crowd began praising God in loud voices, saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Now there's something very special about how the people said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." By saying that, they were quoting a psalm that was about the Messiah. And so they praised Jesus, that he was the promised Christ who would come. Now, did the people have wrong views about the Messiah and didn't fully understand what he came to do? Yes. Even Jesus' 12 disciples did not fully understand everything. But they still had faith. They still believed that Jesus was the Messiah, and they praised him for being that. But not everyone was happy with that. The Pharisees said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." The Pharisees understood that these people were proclaiming Christ to be the promised Messiah. And so they told Jesus, "You must tell your disciples to keep quiet. They must be silent. They shouldn't be saying this." But Jesus said to them, "If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Jesus didn't stop these people from praising him as the Messiah. And if they wouldn't praise him, then the stones would cry out in praise. And the reason that Jesus would do that was because on this day, the Messiah entered into Jerusalem to complete his mission of salvation. There was no way that there wouldn't be praise for Jesus on this day. And there's no way that there shouldn't be praise for Jesus each and every day. So how much do you praise Jesus? Do you praise Jesus so much that people tell you to remain silent? Or do you praise Jesus so little that Jesus has to encourage you to praise him more? Now, does God need our praise? He doesn't. In fact, all of creation gives glory to God and praises him. He doesn't need our praise, but God does desire it. God is the one who created us. God is the one who redeemed us. God is the one who sanctified us, for he made us holy and set us apart as his own children. He is worthy of our praise. So what's stopping you from praising God always? Are you not always praising God because you're afraid? You're afraid that if you openly confess and give praise to God, people will mock you for it. Or you're afraid that if someone asks you about your faith, you don't know what to say. Are you not always praising God because of the hardships and the struggles in your life? And so you don't feel like praising God. Instead, you feel like questioning God and doubting him. Are you not always giving praise to God because you give praise more to someone else or to something else, maybe even yourself? And therefore, that is stopping you from praising God above all things. We have not perfectly and always given praise to God with our mouths and with our actions. And since we give so little praise to him, This should have stopped Jesus from entering into Jerusalem and to ride on away from us. But this didn't stop Jesus. It didn't stop him because his hour had come. He entered into Jerusalem to win peace and salvation for all. And since he won peace and salvation for all, he is now able to proclaim peace and salvation to all people. Just think about when Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to the people. When he appeared to them, he did not proclaim God's condemnation, but instead he said, "Peace be with you." By saying, "Peace be with you," Jesus was telling them that they don't need to be afraid, but that they could rejoice in knowing that their sins were forgiven and they now had peace with God. And Jesus says the same things to you and me. We experienced that this morning. When we confessed our sins and we said, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner," what did we hear from God? We didn't hear God proclaiming his condemnation to us, but we heard God proclaiming peace to us, assuring us that our sins are forgiven. Therefore, in the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Let us gladly give praise to our God by confessing him before others. Let us gladly give praise to Jesus by living our lives out of love for him and by living humble lives like he did. Let us gladly give praise to our Savior, not only on this day of Palm Sunday, not only during the week, but each and every day of our lives. For Jesus entered into Jerusalem humbly on a donkey to fulfill Scripture and to become obedient to death, even death on a cross. But he also entered into Jerusalem triumphant in praise. And when Jesus returns, he will once again come triumphant in praise. For every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. On that day, we will give praise to the Lord, not out of fear, but in the peace of forgiveness, we will gladly say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Nicene Creed, which you will find on page 31 in front of your hymnal. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, from God, light from light, true God from true God, not and not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the offering.